Public hearing is conditional use number 2199 OA Rehoboth LLC.
Mr. Chairman, before we start this one, I'm going to let Mr. Sharp cover this one for me.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a CR1 general commercial residential district for multifamily 224 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 18.793 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the south side of John J. Williams Highway, Route 24, approximately 0.29 mile east of Warrington Road. The 911 address is not available. The tax parcels are District 334, Map 12, parcels 127.01 and 127.10. Staff would note for the record, and exhibit booklet was submitted, a site plan, comments from DLDOT regarding the service level evaluation. We also have comments from the Sussex Conservation District. We also have the comments and the responses back to the plus letter, and we would note there's one letter in opposition to this application. Thank you.
All right, we thank you. Mr. Fuquay.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown and Rehoboth, and I'm representing the applicant, OA Rehoboth LLC. And with me are Preston Schell, who is a member of the applicant LLC, and Zach Crouch of Davis Bowen and Friedel. An exhibit book was submitted for the record, which I assume you have copies of. The exhibit book contains relevant information about the application. It includes the application's response to the plus comments, an environmental assessment and public facilities report, and a section 999C report was done under the subdivision ordinance just because it provides relevant information. As was stated, this is an application for a conditional use for a 224-unit apartment development, which would be comprised of seven buildings containing 32 residential units each. The development would be located on part of an 18.79-acre parcel. The land is located directly behind the Rehoboth Mall.
Mr. Fuquay, just, ladies and gentlemen, especially those of you with low, deep voices, I can hear every word you're saying. And please don't talk while the presentation's going on or while one of your peers are up here speaking. Let's respect them. Pay attention to what's going on. Thank you.
Okay, the land is located directly behind the Rehoboth Mall on the west side of Route 1, and it's also between Route 24 and Old Landing Road. The parcel would be considered to be an infill parcel surrounded by existing development. And Janelle, if you could put up the aerial. That's blown up a little bit, but to the you can see our site, which is the blue spot right there. As I said, to the east of our site is the Rehoboth Mall and the Walmart. They front on Route 1, and that land is zoned C1 commercial. To the south is the Sterling Crossing duplex condominium community. Also, there's a vacant piece of land that's owned by J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company, Inc. The Townsend land is also zoned CR1. And immediately adjacent to our site, which you can't see on that plot, but there's a two-acre parcel, which is subject to a lease option for additional parking for the Rehoboth Mall. And that parcel is also zoned CR1. The west side of our site is actually adjacent to the BB Healthcare campus, and that includes the imaging lab and outpatient surgery center, the walk-in care facility, and the tunnel cancer center. And to the north of our site, the property borders the rear of the Delaware Eye Institute, which is zoned C1. It also borders three undeveloped lots owned by the Harola Family LLC, and an additional undeveloped lot, which is owned by Artisans Bank. And those four undeveloped lots are all zoned CR1. Janelle, maybe if you can go back to the zoning map. There's also two partially constructed roads that border the site. One site is a private access, or one road is a private access road that will run from the Rehoboth Mall access road from Route 24 to what is referred to as the connector road. The second road is the connector road. The connector road actually starts at Route 24, and it is the access road to the BB Healthcare campus, and it currently stops at a dead end just past the developed portion of the campus. And as I will explain in a minute, the connector road is planned to be extended and will become a public road maintained by DelDOT that will be connecting Route 24 to Old Landing Road. Janelle, can you put up the actual site plan? Thank you. As was stated, the site contains 18.79 acres of land. It's zoned currently CR1, commercial residential, and currently the land could be developed as a shopping center or for any use that's permitted in the CR1 zoning district. The applicant's development plan is, rather than totally developing the site as a shopping center, which had been previously planned, to construct an apartment development clustered on the eastern, roughly two-thirds of the site, and retain an approximate 4.7-acre parcel of the CR1 zone land for future non-residential development. And that would either be some retail use, medical offices, or possibly an assisted living facility. The future use of the 4.7-acre parcel, which is the parcel to the left there, would, of course, be subject to preliminary and final site plan approval by the commission. And as I said, that is already zoned CR1. Since the proposed 224 residential apartments will utilize the site's maximum allowable residential density, there'd be no additional residential development permitted on the 4.7-acre parcel. And the apartment development will result in an appropriate use transition from residential uses to the south and the existing commercial and medical uses to the north and west, and will also result in significantly less traffic than if the entire development was developed commercially. Now, as to the applicable land use regulations, first, under the strategies for state policies and spending, the property is designated as being in the investment level 2. As you know, investment level 2 reflects areas where growth is anticipated by local, county, and state plans in the near future, and state investments will support growth in these areas. And as stated in the July 23rd plus letter, the Office of State Planning Coordination has no objection to the proposed development of the project in accordance with the county requirements. Second, under the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance, as I've stated, the land is zoned CR1 commercial residential, which permits a wide variety of commercial uses as well as residential use. In the CR1 district, multifamily dwelling structures, including apartments, may be permitted as conditional uses subject to the requirements of Table 3 of the Zoning Ordinance. The purpose of a conditional use is to provide for uses that are generally of a public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare, but require the exercise of planning judgment as to location and site design. Table 3 of the zoning ordinance establishes the height, area, and bulk requirements for multifamily structures in the CR1 zone, and those requirements include a maximum height of 42 feet and a lot area of 3,630 square feet per dwelling unit, which is the 12 unit per acre maximum. And in the third document, as to legal requirements, of course, is the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. And as provided in the 2019 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, This site is located in the coastal area, which again, as you know, is the renamed environmentally sensitive development area. It's surrounded by other lands that are designated as being in the coastal area and also other lands being in the commercial area. The plan states that a range of housing types should be permitted in the coastal area, and those housing types include single-family homes, townhouses, and multifamily units. The 2019 comprehensive plan recognizes that while a base density of 2 units per acre is appropriate throughout the entire coastal area, medium and higher density densities of 4 to 12 units per acre can be appropriate in certain locations. And that is on page 4-16 of the plan. So the plan states that these higher densities could be supported in areas with the following characteristics. One, the availability of central water and sewer. Two, a location near sufficient commercial uses and employment centers. Three, locations where the use would be consistent with the character of the area. Four, sites along main roads or at or near major intersections. Five, locations with adequate delta level of service. Or six, where other considerations exist that are relevant to the requested project and density. So since our conditional use application is requesting multifamily use apartments at a density of approximately 12 units per acre, the applicant has the responsibility of establishing that our proposed use and density complies with the considerations that are stated in the comp plan supporting higher density, which I just stated. So what I want to do is review those six considerations as they apply to our site. And just to assist you in following me, I just have a summary of the points here that I'll give to Janelle if she can hand those out. So again, the points identified in the comprehensive plan as being factors to be considered in higher density type developments. This refers to the central water and sewer. As to our proposed development, we will be served by central water and sewer. Water for domestic use and fire protection will be provided by Tidewater Utilities, Inc., who already has service in the area. Sewer will be provided as part of the Sussex County Sanitary Sewer System, which already serves the surrounding properties. And the Sussex County Engineering Department indicated in its memo that's in the file that wastewater capacity is available for the proposed development. B refers to being near sufficient commercial uses and employment centers. This site is located in the intensely developed Route 1 corridor, which is probably the most extensively developed commercial area in Sussex County. A wide variety of retail and service businesses, restaurants, and medical providers are located in this area. They're there, they can serve the future residents as customers and clients, as well as offering extensive employment opportunities to the future residents. And focusing on the specific site itself of the apartments, residents there will be within short walking distance to the Rehoboth Mall and the Walmart for shopping needs, and also potential employment opportunities at the mall, the Delaware Eye Institute, DB Medical Campus, and other nearby businesses, all within walking distance from this site. Keeping with the character of the area, well, the character of this area is predominantly commercial and medical services with residential uses to the south. The proposed apartment development would actually be an appropriate residential transitional use between the existing residential development to the south and the existing commercial and healthcare uses to the north and west. And that's particularly relevant since this site right now, as I stated, it could be permitted or could be developed residentially as a matter of right, I mean, developed commercially as a matter of right. D refers to location near roads. As you know, this site is close to and will have access to both Route 24 and Route 1. They are two of the principal roads in Sussex County, and it's very close to the major Route 1, Route 24 intersection. In addition, the site has convenient access to the DART public bus service. The bus service actually has bus stops on Route 1 at the Rehoboth Mall and on Route 24, both at the Delaware Eye Institute and at the BB Medical Campus. So there's actually three bus stops within walking distance of the site. E, as far as a level of service, DelDOT determined that, as provided in DelDOT's development coordination manual, the applicant could contribute an area-wide study fee rather than doing a specific TIS, traffic impact study, on this proposal. And the reason for that is this area has been extensively studied. DelDOT already has a plan improvement project in the area, and that includes improvements on Route 24 between Mulberry Road and Route 1. That project is planned to begin construction, as I understand it, in the spring of 2020. And another project that has been planned for some time with DelDOT, and when I say some time, I believe this goes back to 2003 or maybe before that, and that project is construction of the connector road from Route 24 to Old Landing Road. And the northern section of that road, as I stated, has been built. It is the access road from Route 24 to the entrance road to the BB Healthcare Campus. And the intention is to extend that road south to connect with Old Landing Road. DelDOT and the applicant have been involved in detailed discussions, and they have agreed that the applicant will contribute money to the connector road project, and more importantly, will dedicate sufficient right-of-way along the boundary of the property to lands that are owned by J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company. And Janelle, if you can put up, I think there's a exhibit with the proposed right-of-way. I think it might be the last exhibit. Yeah, that's the section showing that one right there. This is showing the kind of all the way on the left is the kind of the rear of our property, and as you can see, that road that exists now, the connector road, would extend across our property. It comes up to the property of Townsend's. Townsend's have also agreed to dedicate right away to DelDOT across its lands to permit the extension of the connector road to Old Landing Road, approximately across from Airport Road. The Townsends will require an entrance from the connector road onto their property, which is shown right there. And of course, that road design would be done under DelDOT requirements. What's interesting, as I said, this has been going on for some time. DelDOT currently has an easement to use one of the roads in Sterling Crossing, which is the duplex condominium development just south of this site. So that actual development road was originally intended to be part of this connector road. This new plan location for the connector road will alleviate the need to use the Sterling Crossing Street, and it will result, I think everyone would agree, in a much better road location and certainly considerable less impact on the existing residents of Sterling Crossing. So we think that this is a much better design. Now, as far as implementation, as the commission knows, DelDOT and Sussex County have been working on the creation of the Henlopen Transportation Improvement District for some time, and that is still proceeding. Currently, in working with DelDOT, and I understand you're going to be reviewing the MOU with DelDOT later tonight, but currently developers can be required to do a traffic impact study if it's warranted by the DelDOT requirements. That TIS is specific to a proposed development, and then the developer is required to construct or fund roadway improvements that are deemed necessary by the TIS. The Transportation Improvement District would change that process so that any proposed development in that improvement district would be required to pay a fee as determined by the county and DLDOT based on trip generation or some similar measurement as a contribution to transportation improvements in the district, and then DLDOT would actually perform those improvements. As to our application, the applicant will be making the right-of-way dedication and the monetary contribution as determined by DLDOT or as required by the Hennepin Transportation District if that district is created in the near future. It'll just, they'll be tracking our application, and wherever it ends up is how we would be doing it. One of the big advantages is the dedication of the right-of-way for the connector road by Townsend and also by the applicant will speed up the time frame for the construction of this connector road, since the time and the expense of land acquisition for the right-of-way will no longer be a factor in the development. As you know, Mr. Cote from DLDOT is present tonight, and he can add to or clarify anything I've represented, but that is my understanding of where that stands. And then going back to my list I gave out, F, these are other considerations. Again, just to remind you, what I'm talking about is these are the factors that support higher density. There are two other considerations relevant to this proposed conditional use and this proposed density. As I stated, the property is currently zoned CR1. It was rezoned CR1 in 2013. And as you know, under that zoning designation, any use permitted in the CR1 zoning district is a use currently permitted as a matter of right on the site. Now, at the time of that rezoning in 2013, the potential purchaser was planning to develop the site as a retail shopping center. And in July of 2014, there was a PLUS application, which is PLUS application 2014-7-2. And that application was presented to the state agency representatives at a PLUS meeting in Dover to review a site plan for a retail shopping center to be located on the site. That proposed shopping center was planned to contain approximately 141,700 square feet of floor area and a parking area for approximately 900 vehicles. The shopping center project was projected to result in 8,518 weekday vehicle trips per day. Since that proposed use was permitted under the existing CR1 zoning, and the site was located in an investment level 2 area under the state strategies plan, PLUS had no objection to that application. Now, for other reasons unrelated to that, that purchase did not proceed, and that proposed development obviously did not occur. The point for consideration that I'm making is that a large retail shopping center and parking lot generating 8,500 vehicle trips per day remains a legally permitted use of this property today. And the proposed apartment development is a much less intense use of the site with much less impact than a shopping center. And based on the DLDOT letter of November 20th, which is in the record, the apartment development would generate approximately 1,657 vehicle trips per day, or about 20% of the vehicle trips that would be produced by the 141,000 square foot shopping center. The second consideration is the appropriateness and need for an apartment development at this particular location. As I've mentioned before, conditional uses are intended to be essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the current and future residents of Sussex County. And we've discussed this many times before, but a very important housing issue in Sussex County is the lack of affordable housing, and that problem is particularly severe in the resort areas of eastern Sussex County, where many residents are employed in the retail service and healthcare industries. But because of high home prices and a shortage of workforce housing, cannot afford to live where they work. And as a result, many workers are required to commute from areas in western Sussex County where housing is more affordable, and that leads to increased commuting time, increased transportation costs, as well as increased traffic. The affordability issue and the need for workforce housing has been recognized and documented by the county for some time, and I'm not going to repeat all of that. You're all familiar with it, but I will just mention for a more detailed explanation, I would refer you to Chapter 8, the housing section of the 2019 Sussex County Comp Plan. The preface to the county's affordably priced rental unit ordinance, the county's fair housing policy, and the county's affordable housing support policy, and most recently, the Sussex County Housing Opportunities and Market Evaluation Report, which was prepared by LSA Planning at the direction of the Sussex County Council. And that was a study that the county council had done to study the affordability issue and to make recommendations to increase workforce housing availability and improve the county programs. So the need for affordable workforce housing in this area is a stated objective of the county and a problem that's been long recognized by the county. In addition, our particular application is strongly supported by the Delaware State Housing Authority. The Housing Authority stated in their plus comments that our proposed development, and I will quote, would provide Sussex County an excellent opportunity to facilitate a more affordable housing product in the coastal resort area. The need for housing affordable to many county residents who work in this resort economy is acute and well documented. Considering the site's close proximity to Route 24 and Coastal Highway intersection, and location within a DSHA-defined area of opportunity, providing economic opportunity, high-performing schools, and supportive infrastructure that help households succeed, this is an excellent location for more affordable housing product. As a result, DSHA recommends that Sussex County embrace the opportunity to approve this proposal, permitting residents to live close to their jobs as well as the resources and benefits this area provides. Rental units are vital to any well-balanced community. All right, so I've been talking for a long time, so let me just go back and tell you what I just, with the point I was making here. I'll just summarize this briefly, because I think it's a very extremely important point. The county comp plan, which was just became effective in March of this year, states that in the coastal growth area, higher density residential development of up to 12 units per acre can be appropriate and supported in areas with certain specific characteristics. Our proposed use and density at this particular location is in full accordance with the considerations stated in the plan, and indicating that this is a site appropriate for this higher density development. And for the reasons I just stated, this particular site, quite frankly, is not only appropriate, but this may be the most appropriate site in Sussex County for this proposed use. Again, for the factors I stated and the reasons stated in the land use plan. So, to close this part up, as to the applicable land use, our application is in full compliance with the state's strategies plan and the investment level map, the zoning ordinance, and a 2019 Sussex County comprehensive plan. And Janelle, if you could put the site plan back up. Thank you, Zach. All right, as to the existing conditions and the proposed development of the property itself, the site is currently cleared. As I said, it's mostly surrounded by commercial uses and the BB Healthcare campus. There are no wetlands located on the property. The site is located in flood zone X on the FEMA flood maps. It is not impacted by the 100-year floodplain. There are no known archaeological sites or national register listed or eligible features associated with the property. Stormwater management facilities will be designed and constructed in accordance with DENREC's current sediment and stormwater management regulations. The site is in the Cape Henlopen School District and in the service area of the Rehoboth Beach Volunteer Fire Company, who has their station number 2, which is located just south of this site on just off of Route 1 at Airport Road. As I stated, the development would contain 7 four-story multifamily buildings. Each building would contain 32 apartment units and would have elevators. Each floor of the buildings would contain 8 apartments comprised of 2 one-bedroom units, 4 two-bedroom units, and 2 three-bedroom units. The 7 buildings with 32 units each would be a total of 224 apartment units, which would be a density of slightly less than 12 units per acre for the 18.79 acre parcel. And as I mentioned before, it would use up all of the residential density permitted for the parcel. As you can see on the site plan, the buildings would be clustered toward the eastern side of the site. They would surround the central stormwater retention facility, and with the exception of building number 1, which is the building furthest to the top there, that building is located next to the entrance to the development, and that's that building is to the rear of the Delaware Eye Institute. The entrance to the development would be from the access road, which is one of the roads I mentioned as being a currently unfinished road. You can see on there the gray is actually the part of that road that actually is constructed. The green portion is the portion that is not constructed. And that road obviously would be constructed either as part of this project or by the Artisans Bank if they developed their property first. But that would be finished so that road would connect the mall access road and the connector road. And again, that's where the entrance would be. That actually gives the site access to Route 24, again, by two ways. Parking would be located in front of the buildings. 394 parking spaces are required. On that plan, which obviously you can't see the detail on there, but 403 are being provided. Non-intrusive street lighting would be provided in the parking areas. Sidewalks would be located on the building side of the parking areas, and the sidewalks would run out to that access road by the entrance and behind the Delaware Eye Center. The development does include a recreational component. There would be recreational facilities consisting of a community building, a swimming pool and deck area, a playground, and an enclosed dog park. The community building would include a meeting room, bathrooms, and a management office. It is planned, if possible, to have a property manager who would be an on-site resident in one of the apartments. And regardless of that, there would be 24 emergency response available for residents. It's anticipated that one of the apartments would be used as a model unit, at least initially. There would be a central mailbox area located near the recreational facilities. And there would be a school bus stop located near the entrance of the development. And the location and design of that stop would be coordinated with the school district. I already mentioned that the site has convenient pedestrian access to the DART bus system with three bus stops within walking distance. The development will be attractively landscaped, and a landscape plan would be prepared and submitted for your review as part of the site plan process. I will submit for your consideration proposed conditions and findings. And in closing, I'll just reiterate that this proposal at this location is in full accordance with the provisions of the State Strategies Plan, the County Zoning Ordinance, and the 2019 Comprehensive Plan, and is located at a location that the Delaware State Housing Authority defined as an area of opportunity and strongly supports. And based on the considerations that I've stated, this particular site may be the most appropriate location for higher density apartment development, certainly in the Lewis and Rehoboth area. And I thank you for your time and attention, and we are available to answer any questions you may have.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Stevenson.
Yes. Just repeat something you said at the beginning, because I missed it. I got befuddled or something. You said something about 4 acres not being residential. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
That green area right there.
So you can't put apartments on it, but it is you could put...
Could put any permitted use in the CR1 there.
But you've taken all the density for apartments?
All the residential density would be used by the proposed 224 apartment units. There'd be no residential density left.
Right. So you can do that?
There's a...
unique situation. And they would also have to deal with sewer because they would run into EDU issues with the sewer, and they'd have to make sure that the sewer capacity is acceptable from the county engineering department
for any future residential development, commercial development. It's a lot different than the normal things you look at in terms of residential development, where, again, this is on CR1, so there's obviously commercial uses permitted as well as residential uses permitted or as permitted by conditional uses. In developing commercial property, there's no limit on area or square footage. In other words, there's no cap that's put on that. The limitations on any type of commercial development are really design limitations as determined by basically regulatory requirements. In other words, you got to meet your setbacks. You have to meet your parking requirements. You have to meet your buffers. You obviously have stormwater management facilities. You have delta requirements and dedications. And then a site may have natural features and characteristics that couldn't be used, wetlands, things like that. So, but you can develop that. I will say I've been involved in several of them. I believe that some of these have been a while ago. The vineyards near Five Points there, that again was one where the commercial is being used as well as the residential uses. And there's another one right on, not that far from here on Route 1, called Creekside, where I believe it's condominiums to the rear, and then along Route 1 in the front, there was office buildings there. So again, it's really maximizing the use of the site.
Just a Preston Shaw, the applicant, it's called Creekwood Annex, and it's where the Morgan Stanley office building is. That parcel's 2 acres, 24 units of residential were built on it, and an office building was put on it. There's another example at Villas of Bay Crossing. There's another example at Sandpiper Plaza. The commercial residential zoning district is a mixed use district, and it should be. That's a smart land use thing to do, to allow a mix of uses, particularly when you have high density residential on the same property. And whether the original intent of the zoning when it was written in 1974 or 73 was to do that is debatable, but we have multiple examples of having done that, and we think it's a smart use of this type of land.
And just referring to this particular application, I think it's worthy of noting that, as I already said, you could develop a large shopping center on the site with the impacts of that.
Yes, you threatened us with that very well.
And with the residential development and a 4.7 acre development.
No, I'm not debating the wisdom of having commercial and all that. This is the first time I have dealt with usually we look at designs like this, and the idea is that you can do multifamily and you can do higher density and you put it all in one area, but that way you can have more open space, not you can have higher density and then, by the way, we're going to put a shopping center and we're going to pave over the whole area. So that's why I was questioning it.
Yeah, but again, I think most of the residential development you see is not on commercial land. I mean, I think that's the difference.
That's how CR1 was born, because in a C1, the old C1, permitted by the code, 12 units to the acre. So we were getting all these 12 units to the acre site plans without benefit of public hearing or anything. Right. And So that was changed so that now if you have CR1, you can still ask for the 12 units. That's why they're here now. And then you can still, if you've got land left over, you can still do your commercial thing there. We don't see it very often, but there are several examples.
And back then, all the commercial land, the C1 land, was getting used up as residential development, and it was taking away commercial uses.
Yeah, but that's what was happening.
No, I understand the concept. It was just, live and learn new things. Okay. So you had the road going through from BB over to Walmart.
Old Landing Road.
No.
Oh.
That.
Oh, the private access road.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why is it? Is it? Are you? So you're not planning to make it go all the way through at this time?
Oh no. It absolutely will go through. You're familiar with that, the BB Hospital entrance road. If you came out of the gym behind the Rehoboth Mall, mm-hmm. that road's there. I mean, it comes over almost
right.
all the way, and I believe Artisans Bank actually had a requirement that when they develop their site, they have to finish that road. And I believe, if I understand it, that burden is also on us. Whoever goes forward has to build that road or some type of combination of the two to construct the road.
I mean, I'd like to see that sooner rather than later.
Well, it has to be done as part
of it. It's a requirement in our contract on the land, and we're perfectly content with the condition that says before we get a certificate of occupancy on our first building, which means before we have anybody living there, that connection needs to be made.
Thank you. My only other question is for Mr. Crouch.
Could you identify yourself?
For the record, Zach Crouch with Davis Bone and Fredell.
This is going to sound weird. Which way does water run on this property? Because right now that property is higher than the property next to it.
Well, that's how come we're going to do a combination of an infiltration basin and a wet pond, but there's catch basins that are located on that private road that actually connect into the DLDOT system. So we'll be using that as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep.
That's it.
No questions.
I just have one for clarification. I think I heard it wrong. I thought you said there was 394 parking spaces required, and you're supplying 303.
No, we're supplying 403.
Thank you. That was my only question.
Mayor, no questions, sir.
Okay. Mr. Whitehouse.
Help me.
Thanks, Warren.
None for me.
Okay. Ms. Cornwell.
None, thank you.
Counselor.
Point one. You had mentioned, and I just want to make sure I get it correct for the record. I think you had said that there's at least option purchase on the 2-acre parcel, but that was a separate parcel. But when I look at the tax map, it looks like it's all part of the same one. So I just want to make sure you understand.
It's part of the same tax map parcel, but it's not counted toward our density.
No, it is.
It is?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because when I looked at it, the density calculation would appear to include that.
It doesn't get subdivided.
Okay.
So the landowner that owns this property is also the current fee simple landowner underneath the Rehoboth Mall. So the Rehoboth Mall, unbeknownst to a lot of people, is on land lease. The Cordish Companies that owns the mall itself doesn't actually own that land. And when they were proposing, I can't remember because there was a number of applications, but at some point they were talking about turning that Walmart into a super Walmart.
Right.
And they were worried that they didn't have adequate parking to meet code. And so they went and negotiated a deal with Mr. Hood, who is it's his children, essentially, that we're purchasing this land from, to say, hey, if we do get this approved and do move forward with it, we need the option to get more parking. Well, they never moved forward with those plans, but the way that lease option was written is it never expired. It should have been tied to those plans, and if it didn't happen, it expired. When Cordish found out we were proposing to move forward with this, Cordish has interest. If we don't buy this, Cordish will buy it, and they will do shopping. They have interest in buying it, so they had an interest in deterring our ability to not develop it commercially. So they executed their lease option and selected the location of that lease option, but I think it's highly unlikely that they will actually ever build parking in the near term on that land. It'll just sit there as open space until they do something different with Rehoboth Mall. And even at that point, unless they need the parking, it may still sit there as open space.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else?
Sure. I have nothing further.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Fuqua, if you'll take a seat nearby. Ladies and gentlemen, as part of the ongoing program to increase cooperation with our friends at DelDOT, DelDOT has very graciously supplies us with a an expert for to assist us at our public hearings. DelDOT does not take positions on applications. They are neither for nor against. They are simply here to advise this commission and to answer any questions that we might have. And at this time, I'm going to invite Mr. Cote from Tarver Transportation to come forward and share with us any observations or thoughts that you would like to share, and then to, if you would, allow the commission to ask any questions that you might have.
Okay, so for the record, my name is Mark Cote. I'm the Assistant Director of Planning for DelDOT in charge of development coordination. So I'm here to really answer any of your questions. Mr. Fuqua outlined, you know, pretty much everything regarding our coordination. Just some project updates. Our 24 project, we are about to award that, and that will start in the spring. We have been working on with them on the alignment that was shown there for the connector road from Old Landing up to 24. That is also, that project is in our CTP, in our proposed 21 and 26 plan.
If you would, for the benefit of the public, explain what a CTP is.
I'm sorry, that's our capital transportation program, which is outlines our six-year program with all the projects in it and our spend plan.
Thank you. And let me just ask this question, that what the applicant has stated for the record in regard to DelDOT, DelDOT improvements and so on, does that concur with your understanding of what's proposed and what's going to happen?
Yeah, so we haven't done all the final determination in terms of the area-wide study letter that will likely come out of this. We don't really see the need to do a traffic impact study since we do have projects on 24 and also to build the connector road in the area. So we think the area-wide study fee letter is appropriate, and that will outline contributions to those projects, the right-of-way dedication, and anything else that's required once we see the plan in more detail.
Okay, thank you. We'll see if anybody on the commission has any questions. Mr. Stevenson, anything for Mr. Cote? Sir?
Thank you.
Anything? Questions? Anyone here? Okay, thank you very much. Don't go too far. You may sit down, but because you know a question may come up later, because we're going to take public testimony at this time. So
happy to be here. Sure.
And I want to thank you all for being very quiet and patient. Now it is your time. We'll start with folks who may wish to speak in favor of the project. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 2199 OA Rehoboth LLC? All right, is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor? Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Come on, please come up. Please come up, give us your name. You may have the floor.
Thank you very much.
Chairman Wheatley, distinguished commissioner, city staff, fellow citizens. Thank you for the opportunity to come here as the Sterling Crossing community to participate in this hearing. I'm Kathleen Baker. I reside at 35496 Copper Drive South, Rehoboth Beach, 19971. I'm honored to represent the association this evening. And I'm thrilled that 12 activist, problem-solving, wonderful neighbors who are very strong volunteers in the broad community are here this evening. We endorse the Ocean Atlantic Rehoboth multifamily plans. We thank Preston Schell for his vision. We thank Paul Townsend and family for the gift of land for the new connector road. We appreciate DelDOT's design concept of December 9, 2019 for the Hennepin TID Airport Road Segment 34, which was portrayed this evening, and their guidance to our community through these years. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, we thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor? Okay, then, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2199? Okay, anyone on the commission have any questions? All right, then, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, early.
Yeah.